Words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. The sermon for today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, calling Christ manifest in the temple. And it is by a different author this time, by the Reverend Canon Wallace C. Shields, leader of the Diocese of the Mid-Atlantic States. That's why we had a different epistle, a lesson for the epistle. In the New Testament lesson for today, we heard these words of the 12-year-old Jesus. Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Or as this question may also be phrased, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? St. Mary had said to him anxiously, your Father and I have sought you. But he had replied, I must be in my Father's house. He is revealing, here the beginning at least, of his knowledge that he has a unique relationship with God. As has been noted, here in his first recorded saying, he spoke of God as my Father, in a way that set his relationship off from one that was open to all people. He manifested in this incident, as has been said, a mysterious sense of a unique relationship to his heavenly Father, that God only was his Father. At this point in life, at age 12 and attending his first Passover, Jesus showed for the first time the recognition that he was, in a unique sense, the Son of God. As another commentator has written, he took the title of Father from Joseph and gave it to God. St. Paul wrote to the Philippians that Christ Jesus had equality with God in his ever-existent state, but had emptied himself and become like a servant, and was born in the likeness of men. In this likeness, that is, in his incarnate life, he had to learn all over again who he was. He could not have known this as an infant, but he had begun to know something of this by the time of his visit to the temple when he was 12 years old. This process must have continued as he matured, and at his baptism at about age 30, he heard the heavenly voice saying to him, thou art my beloved Son. He continued throughout his ministry to show his sense of a unique relationship with God. At the end of the parable of the unforgiving servant, he spoke of my heavenly Father. At the Last Supper, he said to his disciples, as my Father appointed a kingdom for me, so do I appoint for you. St. John's Gospel makes this relationship especially clear. I have come in my Father's name, said our Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And although his own relationship with God is unique, yet his followers can also know God as Father through him, and in the measure that is possible for them. He is a living link with the Father, because, as he says, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do we want God to love us as our Heavenly Father? Then Christ tells us, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He goes on to say, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Therefore, if we want to know God and know him as our Heavenly Father, if we want to love him and live in his presence, The New Testament tells us, know Christ, love him, live in his presence. He also said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Christ our Lord is both God and man. He is our way to the Father. He is our mediator, or, to change the figure of speech, he is the ladder between heaven and earth, which Jacob the patriarch had seen many centuries before in a dream. At the beginning of his ministry, he asserted to one of his disciples, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. As a great English bishop once put it, what the matter, Jesus Christ is the meeting place of human need and divine blessing or judgment. We stand in awe and reverence before the Christ, who is God's Son in a unique way. But we don't stop here, because he did. Through him, and in the measure proper to our human existence, God is our Heavenly Father too. When the risen Christ spoke to Mary Magdalene, he said, I am ascending to my Father, and your Father, to my God, and your God. In the Sermon on the Mount, there are many references to God, your Father, or your Heavenly Father. For example, he said in praying, do not heap up empty phrases, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then he taught his followers the prayer that begins with the words, Our Father. Another English bishop has written on the Lord's Prayer, to approach God as our Father was indeed in apostolic times understood to be the great and distinctive privilege of Christians. This understanding is shown what Paul wrote to the Galatians. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Christ used this expression in his prayer at Gethsemane. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. It shows his emphasis on the love and goodness of God. It means Father, and Christians continue to use this word as an especially significant expression of their faith in God as their Heavenly Father. His Father in heaven was the creator of all men and loved them all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But he is very close to those who have come to him in Christ, who said, He who loves me will be loved by my Father. On this day, the first Sunday after Epiphany, Jesus is revealed, made manifest in the temple as uniquely the child of God. But he went on in his ministry to make very clear that all people can know God as their Father. Through him, it is a great privilege of Christians to know God in this way, and it is their great privilege and responsibility to work to bring others to his knowledge of God as their Heavenly Father. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.